The 9 o'clock Central Time slot that I do here at First Amendment Radio. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 29th of June, moving into July. Oh, boy. I'll tell you, with everything that's going on with the promotion of directions, and certainly the homosexual agenda is paramount, one of the planks of the communist direction to take over our country, communist goals of 1963, prevent homosexuality as normal, natural, and healthy. It's insane, listeners, what we live today. And for most people, they should be awake, and most of them are. They just don't know what to do, where to listen, and how to tune in and tune out. Ultimately, our objectives, listen to this quote, ultimately, our objective is to welcome the Soviet Union back into the world order. Perhaps the world order of the future will truly be a family of nations. Stated by George Herbert Walker Bush at A&M University in 1989. We put Hansa on Wednesday nights for obvious reasons to those that have the understanding. We aren't getting the perspective that he is. We don't have the knowledge that he has. The situation with, I'm so sorry to say, and I'm sure they're not listening, but my friend that wants to go find a wife in Russia is just so ludicrous in the ultimate end goal of this picture. And I know people are desperate for relationships, but that is an embarrassing desperation, in my opinion. I would be embarrassed to go to Russia to find a woman. I would be embarrassed to go to another country to find a woman if I was looking for one. Because the bottom line is, they're here. They are here. It's just you have to let God find it for you. If you believe in God, and most of us do. And that is the bottom line. They want to take God out of the country. They want to take God out of life. And certainly homosexualism is not really what God would advise, or would have advised. And I see here, dated June 27th, annual event made for family-friendly. For 10-year-old Bethany LeMaster, Sunday's Gay Pride Parade made a catch of Tootsie Rolls, Jolly Rogers, Bubble Gum, and Suckers, as well as a neck encircled with colorful Mardi Gras beads. Stuffing the last of candy collected from more than 50 passing floats and marching units into a small red and white cooler, Bethany proclaimed, quote, "This is better than other parades," end quote. Children like Bethany and her brother, Dylan, were abundant at the city's 18th annual Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgendered, and Intersex Pride Parade and Human Rights March, and the two-day Gay Pride Festival that preceded it. Can you believe this? The 18th annual Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgendered, and Intersex Pride Parade and Human Rights March. Have you ever heard of a title like that? Quote, I think people have made a concerted effort to get out if they are a family in Oklahoma with children, end quote, said Dennis McKinney, a board member for Northern Lights Alternative, an HIV/AIDS service provider. Quote, it's just great to be around the kids and see that part of it, end quote. We have pixies running around influencing children about changing their desire for the opposite sex. This helps to keep from increasing our population as far as the New World Order is concerned. If you want to call in tonight, I think the board operator is present. A lot of times he's not, I've been told, when people want to call in, but he's doing the best he can. The call-in number is 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773. Annual event made more family-friendly. Helen Stiffmiller's baby watched the parade from a shade, or from the shade under her stroller. Quote, I have a partner, and we've been together for 13 years, and we have two children. This is a great way to get together and see people we haven't seen in a while, and just have a good time, end quote, said Stiffmiller, who lives in Norman. Amanda Schimmels of Moore and her partner dressed their six-year-old son in a T-shirt reading, quote, I have two mommies, end quote, and brought him to the festival so he could see similar families. Quote, I think it's good for them to see that it's okay to have families like theirs, and there's nothing wrong with it, end quote, Schimmels said. Nothing wrong with it if you want to cooperate with the communist agenda, listeners. That is the point. To make youngsters feel welcome, OK City Pride Incorporated opened a children's section at the festival for the first time this year and incorporated readings of gay-themed children's books in the entertainment lineup. Co-chairman Paul Thompson and organizers have been moving toward more family-friendly events for years. Quote, I don't think you'd find anything more risque than you would might find at Mardi Gras, end quote, Thompson said before the festival start. Gail Younghen, who rode the first Unitarian Church's float, said she has seen the parade become more family-friendly over the years. Quote, I think the first couple of years it was more sort of the fringe, end quote. Young Hine said, quote, now it's become much more mainstream and a lot of mainstream organizations are supportive, end quote. Chris Kirkpatrick of Oklahoma City, strolling through the festival with her partner, said the whole community seems to be growing more welcoming to gays and lesbians. Quote, I would like to think so. I would like to hope so, end quote, Kirkpatrick said. Well, that's just the way it is at this point in time. They aren't paying attention to the big pictures in place. They aren't paying attention to the problems. They don't have any clue about what's going on in our country and the world. And that is the saddest commentary of all in the front page. Let's see. That was June 27th. June 24th, land seizure okayed for private projects. And it's right on the front page of the Oklahoman. Obviously, I haven't been paying attention to the newspapers like I should. But this is absolutely insane, this article. Cities may bulldoze people's homes to make way for shopping malls or other private development, a divided Supreme Court ruled Thursday. The ruling gives local governments broad power to seize private property to generate tax revenue. In a scathing dissent, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said the decision bowed to the rich and powerful at the expense of middle-class Americans. The whole direction I keep saying and keep thinking is the 43 NAFTA corridors, the 43 international highways being developed, under development. And the major one on I-35, I read it to you last week, and you have to search out that information yourself on the NAFTA corridor section of AmericanExpose.com, where the Trans-Texas Corridor is going to be reduced to 10 miles wide, meaning there's a buffer zone on each side. The major highway is going to be a quarter mile wide, but there's going to be a gigantic buffer zone on both sides. So you search that out. It's on my website. It was there. I read it to you. I covered it. Very, very important to do your research into this. Everyone needs to do research when the ultimate direction of researching is so at your fingertips with the computer. The computer was designed to control us. The computer was designed to control everything that we do, and I'm not saying that it's not going to happen. It is going to happen unless enough people make a difference. Those on the inside, those government agencies that monitor what I do, have to realize what they're a part of. Another quote by George Bush of 1991, George Herbert Walker Bush, quote, "We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the rule of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacemaking or peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders." And the UN's founders were members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Keep that in mind. We live with this on a daily basis. In the newspaper, Rise to Push Democracy in Mideast. I was going to use that with Hansa tonight at the 7 o'clock show. I see here House voted Friday to issue an ultimatum to the United Nations reform or lose U.S. financial support. Lawmakers also made clear to the White House that its more diplomatic approach wouldn't do. Led by Republicans, the House voted 221 to 184 for a bill that would withhold one half of assessed U.S. dues, currently about $440 million a year, if the U.N. doesn't accomplish nearly four dozen steps to improve its accountability and root out corruption. This is insane. Failure to comply also would result in U.S. refusal to support expanded and new peacekeeping missions. It's insane, listeners. I want you to hear every word of this article, and then I have another article for you to hear. Quote, "History shows that when Congress stands tough, when it says that if you don't reform, we are not going to pay, then change occurs," end quotes. And House International Relations Committee Chairman Henry Hyde, Republican of Illinois, author of the legislation, and Henry Hyde is a snake, in my opinion. They're all snakes, in my opinion, at this point in time. Most of them, anyway. Most all of them. The Bush administration, while applauding the House for pressing for UN changes, said the automatic withholding of payments could, quote, detract from and undermine our efforts, end quote, to work with the UN for improvements. Representatives Tom Cole, Republican of Moore, Ernest Istook, Republican of War Acres, Frank Lucas, Republican of Cheyenne, and John Sullivan, Republican of Tulsa, voted for the bill. Representative Dan Boren, Democrat of Muskogee, voted against. Istook said in a prepared statement, quote, "For years the UN has thumbed their nose at our country, appeased dictators and terrorists, and exalted bureaucracy and delay rather than freedom and democracy. I'm sick and tired of it. Yes, we need a good international body where nations can work through their problems, but the United Nations is not doing good as it should. It is corrupt. If the United Nations can't fix itself, then it can never fix the rest of the world," end quote. Oh, insane. The Senate has no immediate plan to take up the bill. During 2 days of debate, speakers slammed the UN for what they said was its wasteful bureaucracy, its anti-American bias, its seating of tyrannical governments on the UN Commission on Human Rights, and alleged corruption in the Oil for Food program for Iraq. Well, they don't give any credit to the State Department for the corruption in the State Department. That's number one problem. That's absolutely insane. Insane is the word. Here we see from American Free Press. UN reform plan could make opposing it a crime. Congress urged to react to 2005 UN Reform Act now being considered. This week, Congress will vote on a bill to expand the power of the United Nations beyond the dreams of even the most ardent left-wing one-world globalist. But this time, UN power grabbers aren't European liberals. They are American neoconservatives who plan to use the UN to implement their own brand of world government. The United Nations Reform Act of 2005 masquerades as a bill that will cut U.S. dues to United Nations by 50% if that organization does not complete a list of 39 reforms. By the way, this is by Representative Ron Paul, listeners. On the surface, any measure that threatens to cut funding to the United Nations seems very attractive. But do not be fooled. In this case, reform success will be worse than failure. The problem is in the supposed reforms themselves, specifically in the policy changes this bill mandates. The proposed legislation opens the door for the United Nations to routinely welcome involved in matters that have never been part of its charter. Specifically, the legislation redefines terrorism very broadly for the UN's official purposes and changes it to take action on behalf of both governments and international organizations. What does that mean? The official adoption of this definition by the United Nations would have the effect of making resistance to any government or any international organization an international crime. It would make any attempt to overthrow a government an international casus belli for UN military action. Until this point, a sovereign government retained the legal right to defend against or defeat any rebellion within its own territory. Now, any such activity would constitute justification for the United Nations action inside that country. This could be whenever any splinter group decides to resist any regime, regardless of the nature of that regime. What if this were in place when the Contras were fighting against the Marxist regime in Nicaragua? Or when the Afghan Mujahideen were fighting against the Soviet-installed government in the 1980s? Or during the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising? The new message is clear. Resistance, even resistance to the UN itself, is futile. Why does every incumbent government, no matter how bad, deserve UN military assistance to quell domestic unrest? This new policy is given teeth by creating a peace-building commission, which will serve as the implementing force for the internationalization what was formerly internal affairs of sovereign nations. This commission will bring together UN Security Council members, major donors, major troop contributing nations, appropriate United Nations organizations, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund, among others. The new commission will create the beginning of a global UN army. It will claim the right to intervene in any conflict anywhere around the globe, bringing the World Bank and the IMF formally into the picture as well. It is a complete new world order, but undertaken with the enthusiastic support of many of those who consider themselves among the most strident UN critics. Conservatives who have been critical of the UN in the past have enthusiastically embraced this bill and the concept of UN reform. But what is the desired end of the UN reform? The UN is an organization that was designed to undermine sovereignty and representative government. It is unelected and unaccountable to citizens by its very design. Will UN reform change anything about the fact that its core mission is objectionable? Do honest UN critics really want to expand UN that functions more efficiently? The real question is whether we should redouble our efforts to save a failed system or admit its failures as this legislation does, and recognize that the only reasonable option is to cease participation without further cost to the United States in blood, money, and sovereignty. Do not be fooled. It is impossible to be against the United Nations and to support reform of the United Nations. The only true reform of the United Nations is for the United States to withdraw immediately. The only thing I disagree with here is the fact that the IMF is already involved. The IMF has been involved from the beginning, since 1976, more than likely, when the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF and receives no compensation from the United States, which is a federal corporation. Those three items are very, very critical to this information. The Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF, listeners, part of the U.N. Is there any way to get out of the United Nations without addressing our money system and the Federal Reserve debt note dollar connected to the IMF? The alternate U.S. Governor of the IMF, who is John Snow, the alternate Governor of the IMF is Alan Greenspan of the Federal Reserve. It only makes sense to drop it all. Now, if you understand how things are going, and I want another quote for you. In 1987, Mikhail Gorbachev said, "We are moving toward a new world order, the world of communism. We shall never turn off that road." Mikhail Gorbachev made that statement. It's absolutely insane how things are going and moving. Okay. I see here that we do have a caller. Sam, welcome to the broadcast, Sam.
Hey, good evening, Chris. I wanted to comment on that article. A lot of people need to understand that if this were allowed to have teeth, some of the civil disobedience that's going on right now currently up in New London, Connecticut, would possibly be an international crime, these people defending their homes. So please remember that.
Very, very good point. A pregnant point, Sam.
Yes, because it doesn't define. It just says, the way it puts it, any rebellion against any regime, no matter what, is considered an international crime. Well, if they want to kick you out of your home and you put up a fuss and you resist, we may see down the road not too far away where if they can't deal with it, they'll just call in UN troopers to deal with it.
Yeah, and that's the frightening part about it all, is the fact that people aren't paying attention to this direction that's being implemented on us, and with your help and my help and everybody else getting involved, we can make a big difference in this day and time, because once this legislation was put forth and reported on, a lot of people became very, very upset. And it's front page news.
What's even worse, Chris, is that what you're reading from Ron Paul, that sense already passed.
The UN reform legislation has passed both houses?
Yeah. Well, at least it's passed the House. I haven't heard on the Senate, but at least it's passed the House.
Okay, because this is dated June 27th, and certainly...
Ron Paul had put this out about 2 weeks ago, and then I'd heard, heard on his update line here... fairly recently that they passed the bill. This was last week's information, I do believe. There's so much goes on, Chris, you can't keep up with it all.
I do understand that. And certainly I haven't been paying attention to my newspapers like I should. And this reform bill was in... I can't even find it now. Oh, yeah, here it is. This is dated... the 27th as well. No, that's the wrong one. I'm so full of newspapers here. I don't know when this article came out, but it was quite a while ago, I believe.
Yeah.
That reformer, House delivers ultimatum. That was dated at the 18th of June, probably right around the time you saw what
you saw. Okay, now that one's different. That one there, that one there is a totally different animal, I think. But the one that they had passed originally, which was really masquerading in this light, is the one that you're reading there that Ron Paul talked about. And then the very next week, he on his very next update line, a recording which he updates on Sundays. Actually, it's supposed to be distributed on Monday, but a lot of times I can sneak in and get them on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And he was stating, in fact, I think it was just last week, that it had at least passed the House anyway.
I see. So I'm talking about two different creatures here.
Apparently, but regardless, you know, the bottom line is, as I told you earlier today when we were talking before the broadcast here, and that is that, and I know you agree with me on this, not a problem, but the whole thing is we don't need reform of the UN. They need their butts kicked out of this country, and we need to get out of it as well. They're a communist organization, and they are one of the main instruments to implement communism all over the world, because they are a communist organization, and not too many people want to take the time to review their history to find this out.
Right. Right. It's insane to try and get out of the United Nations when we're in the IMF, though, and that's what bothers me more than anything else, is the fact that most everybody in this country, most of our legislators in this country, Congress, Senate, state, how many of them know that the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF, and do they even do any research to find that out?
I know. They're just mindless puppets, and there again, this is the thing. We got to get out of this mindset just because government says something, and this is where legislators in these different states have got to get out of this mindset. Well, government says we have to do it, so we better just knuckle down and do it. And see, here again, nobody reads their Constitution. Nobody stops to think about the whole issue of states' rights being trampled all over in this process, the right for individual states to and their people to make their own individual decisions as sovereign states within the United States.
Keep your thoughts in place. We'll be right back with Sam and anyone else. 559-781-3773.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of nearly 3 million American jobs being flushed down the toilet. What caused it? NAFTA. 10 years ago, Congress passed NAFTA. It was supposed to boost our economy. Instead, we lost millions of jobs and the nation is still hurting. But now Congress is quietly considering doing it again. But worse this time. by creating a free trade area of the Americas, also called the FTAA. This would outsource millions more American jobs and businesses. How can our country survive this devastation again? Learn how you can help. Visit www.stoptheftaa.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1. Log on to our website and let Congress know that you think FTAA is not an option for America's future. Stoptheftaa.org and keep American jobs in America.
Back to the broadcast as we're dealing with directions that are very, very obvious to us, but most people aren't paying attention. Sam, where were you with your thought pattern?
Just simply that it's time that people wake up and realize that this stuff is, you know, is dead serious, and that there are, and that the traditional rights that they have, that they thought they've had in this country, are down the tubes unless people stand up and get involved now, because there'll come a point where you'll have to stand up and just fight to survive, and by then it may be totally futile, but at that point it'll be better to die than to be enslaved. So, you know, you got a choice now. You can stand up while it's peaceful.
Isn't this amazing? At the top of the website, AmericanExpose.com, the CPUSA will hold its 28th annual national convention July 1 through the 3rd. In Chicago, Illinois. The theme is Defeat the Bush Agenda. The people can win. This draft of the convention's main political report for pre-convention discussion. And isn't that amazing that we're saying the same thing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here we see, quote, the 28th National Convention of the Communist Party USA takes place at a dangerous time in our nation's history. We agree. 25 years of right-wing dominance of the nation's political agenda has reached a quantitatively new level of reaction in the aggressive, extremist, lame duck administration of George Walker Bush, end quote. Isn't that something, how we live this Hegelian dialectic today? And there's probably more and more people joining the Communist Party USA, thinking they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, they're looking at it as an alternative, and it's every bit as big a disaster as the as what we have now. And here's an interesting twist in the dialectic process. Could that be very possibly why we're seeing some of the things we've got going now, so that some people may be tricked into joining that other side, thinking that it's legitimate?
Well, the people of China sure did it, and look what they've got, and look what we have today.
That's it, and the problem is people are not smart enough to figure this out. You don't dumb down a nation for nothing, and we've talked about that in earlier broadcasts about a year or so ago, about the job that's been done on purpose. Charlotte Iserby has scored that out in a lot of her writings that she has done, and it's all been a plan, and most people aren't smart enough to know. They just think, well, that the schools are inept and they're just plain not doing their job. Well, they're not doing their job because the orders are from on high not to do their job.
Yeah. Sad commentary.
Yeah, absolutely. So until we get a few people with some brains and some quijones to really stand up. I mean, these people in New London, Connecticut, they're standing up to defend their homes, but unfortunately these poor people have no idea what this whole thing is a part of. There's the rub. That's why it would be nice. I would love to track these people down and interview them, because I would love to inform them that, you know, of what this whole business of taking their homes is really, truly all about. And it's much bigger than them. It's bigger than New London, Connecticut. It's bigger than the whole state of Connecticut.
Yeah, it's a monster that has reeled its ugly head, finally, to the press, from the press, and it's right on the front page on Friday's paper. Land seizure okayed for private projects, and it is quite a lengthy article, and it's Land ruling comes late for Midwest City. U.S. Supreme Court expanded rights for cities to take properties. Midwest City officials, Thursday's U.S. Supreme Court ruling expanding the boundaries for property condemnations came a year too late. A year ago, such a ruling might have helped the city in its defense of a lawsuit challenging its authority to condemn 90 acres of a retail development project. I don't know, Sam. It's received a lot of press, so maybe we have something to build on here.
I hope so. I hope people really understand what this, you know, start to get an understanding that, hey, you know, all of us have been screaming out here on broadcasts like yours and mine and various others that we weren't full of it, that we knew exactly what we were talking about. And it's kind of sad, Chris. There's one side of you that feels vindicated, and there's the other side of you that if you're going to be vindicated on something, you'd rather not be vindicated in this way.
Yeah.
it's really I almost feel like it's kind of weird. You're torn between two feelings. Part of it you're thinking, now hopefully they'll finally start to see that we knew what we were talking about. But then there's the other side of you that says, yeah, but it's sure a sad occasion. And I keep reminding people, I tell people, I wish I were wrong about all this stuff.
Oh, amen. Yeah, I'd love to be proven wrong. I've said that many times, and wouldn't we love to be proven wrong?
Yeah, because we all lose in this. I mean, if our homes and our property isn't safe, then anything we have within our homes isn't safe. We all know that the Patriot Act gives them the ability, the powers that be, the ability to come into any home when you're not home, go through anything you have, and they don't have to tell you were there. So this is just... there goes the Fourth Amendment, and then of course in this ruling now there goes the Tenth Amendment and a bunch of other stuff, as well as another blow to the Fourth Amendment. And here's the thing, Chris, the Supreme Court had no business even getting involved in this. That's the thing. This should never even, the states should have been taking care of this on their own, because the federal government, and the traditional role of the federal government, was only to provide for the states those things that the states could not provide, such as a military, and if you want to really stretch it, maybe the postal service, I don't know, but the military particularly. Now we have the federal government and everything from forced mental screening of children to this issue now, so the federal government's going to decide. Now, supposedly the state of Missouri, I got to do some investigating on it, the governor here, Matt Blunt, supposedly is outraged over this, and supposedly, I use that term loosely, has got plans to pass some legislation so that in Missouri this can't be done. But as you know, it's still vaporware until it actually comes out, and even then you have to read it with a fine-tooth comb to see if there isn't something hidden in there.
Yeah, very good point.
So, you know, the old saying goes, until it actually hits paper and you can analyze it, don't get your hopes up too high, because, first of all, he's talking about it. A lot of politicians talk about a lot of stuff. The only stuff that seems to get implemented is the stuff that's disgusting.
Yeah, and certainly Dennis has put some tremendous information on the site for us to research, and I just can't believe he knows he's guided too. But the information that he comes up with, I mean, Sam, have you ever heard of the International Rivers Network?
No, I haven't. I'm hearing of new stuff almost on a daily basis. And all this stuff, I mean, that's why I said this octopus has thousands of tentacles, I think.
Yeah, this is under the title of Resettlement Issues. In April 2005, the expert credit agencies of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, that's the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, decided to offer corporate subsidies to the hydropower industry. Before the decision entered into effect, the export credit agencies will discuss whether to adopt stricter safeguard standards for hydropower projects. Leading resettlement expert Thayer Scudder prepared a memorandum for the OECD, arguing that the World Bank safeguard policies are not sufficient for hydropower projects, and that the export credit agencies should adopt the recommendations of the World Commission on Dams. Scudder is a former member of the WCD, a consultant on resettlement projects to the World Bank since 1964, and the author of a book on resettlement experiences. Isn't that amazing? Resettlement issues.
Yeah.
And what are we living today? Agenda 21. Biodiversity settlements. It's just a sad commentary, Sam.
Keeps on going, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just keeps on moving itself. And, you know, here's Dennis coming up with this information. And, you know, what? Once it's off the front page, it goes back in the later dates. But, you know, the key is to get all this stuff in front of everyone to see. And that's the challenge now.
Well, people have to keep up with this stuff. That website is a wonderful world of material. Probably the one single place that has more material on this subject than anything else. That's why I say it's a valuable resource. People need to. It's the one place that needs to be bookmarked, because there's not too many places you can get this comprehensive of a look at what they've really got planned. And each day there's more and more added to it all the time. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep doing the best we can, and I'm sure our numbers will increase as time progresses. It's just the people we come in contact with, they need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, I'm going to let you get back to it, but I just wanted to make sure that people understood the ominous direction that this piece of legislation masked as reforming the UN could go. That means that any crime could be considered a crime, an international crime by the UN. All they have to do is declare it so. And always remember, I hear a lot of these people, Chris, that talk about, you know, you hear a lot of these law programs and people saying, well, they can't do this because the Constitution says this, the Constitution says that. Well, here's the problem. It may be legal, it's unlawful, but unfortunately it's legal. Legal doesn't always mean lawful. There's where the problem is. So all they have to do is declare it legal, and this is where we have the problem. That's why it's one thing to sit there and spout your constitutional rights. You can do that till the cows come home, but there's going to come a time, I'm afraid, where people are going to have to fight to preserve those constitutional rights, because these people don't know anything else.
Yeah. Sad commentary to have.
Cite all the law you want on all these law programs, and there's going to come a time where you're going to have to really have some teeth in it, and it may even wind up involving the risking of our lives to defend it, because these people don't know anything else.
Well, they sure are engineering many directions to take us down, and that's the problem.
Yeah, what a sobering time to be alive, sir.
Well, I sure appreciate you being there, you and Trish.
That's all right. We'll keep on, and you do the same thing, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sam.
You bet. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Sam and Trish, listeners, have done a lot of great research. They found the World Toilet Organization, listeners, an offshoot of Agenda 21, the World Toilet Organization, among other things. Why does that come to my mind first? I don't know. Millions of people worldwide are facing serious threats to their livelihoods and cultures due to the construction of large dams. Intended to boost development, these projects have led instead to further impoverishment, degraded environments, and human rights violations. An estimated 40 to 80 million people have been forcibly evicted from their lands to make way for dams. Evidence shows that these people have often been left economically, culturally, and psychologically devastated. Growing evidence shows that dams often fall short of meeting their projected benefits. In November 2000, the World Commission on Dams released a highly critical report showing that dams have generated less power, irrigated less land, and supplied less drinking water than projected. Is this honestly true, listeners? Is this the fact of the way it is? While dams can prevent some floods from occurring, the WCD found that they can also exacerbate damages suffered when floods do occur. A project studied by the WCD incurred an average cost overrun of 56%, and about half faced delays of 1 year or more. They're tearing out dams in America. Darren has documented that. And that's very, very obvious what happens when dams are taken down. why reestablish something that is already established in America? Hydroelectric dams cost a lot of money. Hydroelectric dams are efficient. Whenever a hydroelectric dam is taken down, where's the power going to come from? So maybe in other countries, dams are creating problems. But in America, taking out dams are creating problems. So you see it going both ways on both sides of the world. And it's very, very frightening to me to know that this environmental movement, the backdoor direction to enslave America, is well underway. All chapters of Agenda 21, those 40 chapters, are well in place, being implemented after 13 years and long before that. This is not just, you know, this is not just a new thing after 13 years. It's been going on since the 20th century started, for all intents and purposes. I mean, the move for the League of Nations, I covered that last night on one of the shows. The move for the League of Nations was well-intended, and the people in Congress said, no way. This is a one-world governmental system. So they set up the fact that 20 years later, another war was going to happen. The buildup of Adolf Hitler, and the Bush family had a lot to do with that. Hamburg America lines part of that as well. So realizing this is very, very important for you to come to these conclusions and understand what's being directed. Because without your support, without your knowledge, without your educating others, we don't have a chance. Dated May 27th, International Rivers Network, IRN welcomes new water policy from major international bank. The HSBC, one of the world's largest banks, announced a new freshwater policy at their annual general meeting in London. The policy prohibits lending for dams that do not comply with the recommendations of the World Commission on Dams. Who is the World Commission on Dams? The UN system, part of the UN system, listeners. Quote, HSBC's announcement is excellent news for everyone who wants to see socially just and ecologically sustainable solutions to the world's water and energy needs. Now it's time for other financial institutions to step up to the plate and follow HSBC's example, end quote, says Patrick McCauley, executive director of the IRN. IRN, American Rivers Network. The World Commission on Dams issued their recommendations in 2000. IRN and hundreds of other civil society groups around the world believe that meeting the WCD's criteria should be the litmus test for whether or not a dam should be built. The commission made a comprehensive set of recommendations on water and energy planning and management. Among these are that dam developers must reach legally binding and freely negotiated agreements with communities that stand to lose their lands and their resources. The commission also called for better environmental assessments and greatly improved planning processes that should ensure the selection of low-impact water and energy projects. Over the past 5 years, a growing number of governments, UN agencies, and companies have endorsed the WCD's approach. Much of the dam industry and the World Bank remain strongly opposed to key parts of the WCD recommendations. HSBC is the first major private bank to endorse the WCD, the World Commission on Dams. Absolutely amazing, people, as things are being engineered all the time. We have the Middle East mess that's going on, and Russia and China working together to increase their medal take at the 2008 Olympics. I covered that at the 7 o'clock broadcast. The Olympic mess. How incredible is this? World Commission on Dams, Dams and Development, a new framework for decision making. Oh, this comes right out of Agenda 21. It's absolutely incredible. Explore the origins and institutional structure of the commission. You can do this by going to WCD. Or actually, it's dams.org. That's dams.org. And realize that this is an engineering process. And we see a two-year follow-on to the progress initiated by the Commission began in November 2001. A project of the United Nations Environment Program, the UNEP, the Dams and Development Project, the DDP, promotes dialogue on improving decision-making, planning and management of dams and their alternatives based on the WCD core values and strategic priorities. So, quite remarkable stuff, people. And I'm just amazed at how Dennis finds all this. You have the International Rivers Network, the International Lake Environment Committee, the Water Water Scientists, Engineers, and Librarians. The Water Librarians homepage. I can't believe this. The Water Librarians homepage. I just at a loss at all this, listeners, and I hope you are too, because it's fascinating to see where we go with all this information. Serving water scientists, engineers, and librarians since 1996. Isn't that amazing? This page contains links to resources that I find useful in my work as a librarian in a California water agency. I hope others in similar institutions will find them useful also. Pretty remarkable stuff that Dennis has found. As we move into directions that continue to continue to confuse many, and understanding this is very, very important, that we're being maneuvered and manipulated on a daily basis. We're being promoted to do things that don't make sense. We don't have much of a say in anything that gets done. And so, here we are. Darren's passing along the latest update from his friends at the International Advocates for Health Freedom. CAFTA is NAFTA on steroids. That's how one experienced trade attorney describes the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And CAFTA is on the move this morning, June 29th. The U.S. Senate Finance Committee endorsed CAFTA, sending it to the full Senate for a vote, which will likely take place in 2 days. The vote will be close, but pro-CAFTA forces believe they have enough votes to get it passed by the Senate. If they do, they will claim momentum and get the U.S. House to vote on it soon thereafter. The pro-CAFTA forces aren't really for true free trade. They are for global managed trade, because that is what CAFTA, like NAFTA, really is. Why does it take over 1,000 pages to define free trade? We've had over 10 years of NAFTA, so we should know what to expect with CAFTA again. CAFTA is NAFTA on steroids, so is FTAA, listeners. CAFTA fits hand in glove with the world government agenda to make the U.S. just another client state. How? Consider. CAFTA Article 10.16.3 places the United States under the jurisdiction of international tribunals supervised by the United Nations. Consider. CAFTA Article 10.5.2a states that these international tribunals must use, quote, customary international law, end quote, to establish by the, quote, principal legal systems of the world, end quote, when deciding cases. Welcome to the United Nations World Court System. And then there's the unconstitutional granting of fast-track authority to the president. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution gives Congress the sole authority to regulate international trade. But CAFTA, like NAFTA, treats the U.S. Constitution as a relic. They already suffer from the World Trade Organization and its international bureaucrats. CAFTA will add another layer of unaccountable world elites who will tell us what we can and cannot do. Even the French understand the critical importance of national sovereignty. They recently rejected the proposed constitution of the European Union. Remember that the EU started as a trade agreement in 1957, and now it is a regional supra government. NAFTA, CAFTA, and then the Union of the Americas. We strongly urge a no vote on CAFTA. Tell your senators to reject CAFTA. And that is very, very, very important. And I'm certainly sorry that this is going on around us today. And it's just amazing how we're being maneuvered on a daily basis. And this ruling is most draconian as we're being delivered into the hands of this totalitarian United Nations system. Without understanding the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund, we don't have much of a chance to turn things around. Without changing the money system, what can we do? I just keep seeing it on a daily basis. It's a maneuvering direction that has taken us down and dumbing down our schools in a great way, in a tragic way. Why would this be if it wasn't a conspiracy to take us down? Just like the top of the website, American Exposé, states. And look at it yourself, listeners. It's on the top of AmericanExposé.com. Go to Darren's website, on my website, AmericanExposé.com. The communist threat, McCarthy was right. I covered that last night at the 7 o'clock broadcast. Read it yourself. Good night, and God bless you all.
Listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a